comes from. I am one that, fully believes that God blesses people more than he blesses places. I believe that whenever God wants to do something significant and major, he starts not with a place, but he starts with a person. The oil of God, the glory of God, the anointing of God. We often talk about how it is relegated to a place, but the reality is I believe that it falls on people. The word would help me echo this by recording what, or regurgitating to you what Deuteronomy says. So we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Blessed when we come. Blessed when we go. Please understand that is not on a place. It was a blessing or a word that was spoken on an individual. However, although I believe that there is a blessing that rests on a person, at the same time, I also understand the importance of environment. Because environment is not the same as a place. Environment is different. Environment suggests that, it is a place that works together with something in order to produce something. So let me say it to you this way. If we were to just talk about a garden by itself, that would just be a place. But if we talk about the garden in reference to an environment, we can't speak about the garden without speaking about a seed. Because when the seed gets into the garden, then it's producing something. A seed in your hand will not do anything. A seed on this floor will not do anything. A seed still in its original container will not do anything. But a seed that goes into a garden or goes into soil will produce something major because it's in the right environment. My brothers and sisters, I believe that the struggle for many today is not necessarily that they are out of place, it's that they're just in the wrong environment. And when you're in the wrong environment, you're in places where it doesn't work for you. It is not that you don't work, it's that where you are is not working for you. And God's will for us is that we would get to the right environment so that we can produce the best that he has called for us to produce. You don't get to the right environment by trying to hang on to everything from yesterday and hang on to people who God never intended to be in your circle. You get to the right environment by realizing the potential you have beyond what you have at the present. Oh, I just said something, you missed it. You get to the right environment by realizing your potential beyond your present. See, if you only recognize what you have now and think that's all you'll ever have, you are ignoring your potential. The seed looks like it is nothing, but once it is planted in right soil and it dies, it gives forth something that is bigger than how it began. The tree is bigger than the seed, but it could not grow into that massive tree until it got into its rightful environment. And tonight I want to tell you, you're actually bigger than where you are, but you've just been in the wrong environment. Grab three people and say, I'm changing my environment. I'm changing. When you change your environment, you see things differently. When you change your environment, you live under a greater standard. You live under a greater mentality. And what's hindering the body is we've got a lot of people who are the place, but they're not in the right environment. They're living outside of the standard that God has set for their life. Are y'all listening so far? Here's how this relates to the text. Because the text here in 2 Kings 6 introduces us, before we get a chance to talk about the prophet Elisha, it is interesting that it mentions the prophets who he would be teaching or training. And they are living in a unique environment because they're not living under Elijah. They're living under Elisha. Why is that important? Because remember, Elisha was the apprentice, or he would be the one who caught the mantle from Elijah. Now, that means that whatever Elijah did, Elisha was going to do more than that. One writer would suggest that he would do double of what Elijah did, which means that these new prophets who are under Elisha are not living under a unique, living under the old standard. They're living under a new environment, a new season, a new dispensation. They're actually living under the realm of double, because
Elisha is now something that they are living up under. Tonight, when you get in the right environment, you live in a greater area where you live under a double anointing, where you live under a double grace. Get three people and say double. I know it to be double because everything that happens with Elisha, remember it double. So if Elijah had 7 miracles, that means Elisha would have 14 miracles, which means that these new prophets are living under more than they could have ever anticipated. Get ready, people of God, because you're not living under the normal. You're living under a double anointing. And now that you're living under double, there are things that are going to work for you that did not work in the past. There are going to be places that you're able to go that other people weren't able to go to. There are going to be things you walk into that other folk weren't able to walk into. Touch yourself and say, I'm living under double. Lord, I thank you. When you live under double, there's some things that happen for you, and it's right in the text. Notice what happens in verse number 1. They say, see, the place where we are is too small for us. Don't miss this point. If you miss this, you'll miss the whole message. It was not Elisha who said the place was too small. Help your boy in here, Lord. It wasn't Elisha. It wasn't the master prophet. It was those who were sitting up under him. Which means that when you live up under double, you don't have to wait for things to come to you. You can actually call your own shots. You missed it. The Bible says they said, where I am is too small. They didn't let anybody else speak it. They started speaking it themselves. God's trying to raise up a generation who's not waiting on anybody else to declare when next season's arrive. God's raising up a people who will speak it themselves, who will wake up one morning and just start declaring, my season is here now. My life is getting better now. And as a matter of fact, I can't stay here because I'm bigger than where this body is. I've got to move on. Lord, yeah, won't you tell everybody near you, I'm bigger than that. Tell them, I'm bigger than that. When they said the place where we are is too small, that's what they're saying. They're saying where we at, we've outgrown it. Not necessarily physically, we've outgrown it mentally. We've outgrown it spiritually. And I don't know where you at, but there's some people who just outgrown that old place. And you're just saying, I can't stay here any longer. When you live up under a level of double, you don't wait for nobody to tell you. You start telling everybody else, I can't stay here with this because what God is doing in me is bigger than what I have right now. Am I preaching to myself in here? Would you grab somebody close and tell them I can't stay here? Tell them I can't stay here. I get there many things that's going on, but I can't stay here. I can't stay with people with a messed up mentality. I can't stay in an environment where they don't think big. I can't stay in an environment where they think real small. I can't be around small-minded people. I can't be around small-minded things. They said the place where we at is too small. It's too small. Watch this now. When they acknowledge that it's too small, what they're acknowledging is that there's a problem. There's a problem. Would y'all say there's a problem? Okay, here's what the Lord, I feel you. There's a problem. Here's the thing. The place where we're at is too small. Then they say, let's go to the Jordan. Build something new. Every man get a beam and we'll build something new at the Jordan.
Come on. Yeah.
Now that's a solution. You missed it. Yeah.
Come on.
See, when you live up under one single anointing, you can only see one thing. But when you live up under God,
come on,
you see more than just one thing. In your old season, all you could notice was the problem. But now in this season, you notice a problem and God gives you a solution. See, you're not anointed because you can spot the issue. You're anointed because you saw the issue, but you also have the strategy of how to deal with it. strategies. I got strategy. God's given me strategies. Whenever I see a problem, I start shouting, because it must be these birthing a new strategy. See, the enemy wants you angry at your problem, but you can't work your anointing unless there's a problem first. Whenever you see a problem, you ought to start shouting, because God must be birthing a strategy through you. You got in something they thought it was going to be the end of you. God gave you a strategy to get out of it. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but God told me to tell you that's why you keep rising above. Because I keep blessing you with strategy. I keep showing you nothing can hold you down, nothing can mess you up. No wonder all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Scream as loud as you can. He says, the place where we at is too small. Let's go build something. Let's go build something. Prophet said, well, go ahead and do it. Watch this, because whenever you get a strategy, God always opens up a door. Lord, help. And when he opens the door, please understand, there will be nobody that can hinder what he's opened. I don't know who I came to preach to tonight, if it ain't just the apostle, but I came to tell somebody that there's a door that God is opening in your life right now that nobody can close. That's why he got the strategy, and you shouting about the issue while other people are trying to fit their way out. God already told you it's done. It's a finished product. Text says they go to the place, and as they're on their way, watch what they do. They're on their way, and while they're on their way, one of them said, wait, before we go, Prophet Elisha, you have to go with us.
Yeah.
All right, now, here's what I love. When you live in the right environment, what God does is he doesn't give you all the answers. What he does is he puts you in the right circle so that whatever you're lacking, somebody else in the circle has. You didn't get what I just said. I know I'm telling the truth because the text opens up and says, the prophet said, listen, the place where we at is too small. Then it says, one of them said, let's go build. Then it says, and another one says, Prophet Elisha, can you go with us? You will notice it's not the same person talking. Each one in the crowd gives something else to offer to better the situation. You need to check your circle, because if everybody in your circle does the same thing, that might be the hindrance of why you can't get some things accomplished. God needs to put you in a realm where there's some people who are the exact opposite of you, who can see some things that you can't see, who can help some areas you couldn't help. Let me give you New Testament. When Paul and Silas was in jail, the Bible says that they were praying and singing. What we miss is that they could not have both been doing the same thing. One had to be praying while the other was singing. And then the roles reversed and the other started praying while the other one started singing. Pastor, what you telling me? Because God doesn't want you to have it all. He needs to humble us and show us that he uses people in order to bless us. So he trusts us with relationships and puts us in the circle of influence where those who can help us get certain things that we couldn't get on our own. That's why, if in fact you want to really check to see how far you're going,
yes, sir,
check who's around you. Because you can only go as far as those who you hang with. Oh, we just unlocked something there. I hope you didn't miss it. You can only go as far as who you hang with, which might be the clue to why some of us have been missing what God had is because we got the wrong folk with us. They keep looking backwards while you're trying to look forward. They keep talking about what was while you're trying to talk about what's coming. They keep trying to remind you where you've been while you're talking about where you're going. And God says, I will change your environment and put you around some people who can see greater than you can see. Pastor, what did he say? I'm not going to say, I promise. This is what he said. I'm running out of time. He says, please would you go with us. Now, what I'm getting ready to say to you might be a little shocking, but I believe that the prophet asked Elisha to go with him, hear me clearly, because he expected trouble.
Yes.
Come on. Let me see if I can hear you. See, you can never have a strategy without having something try to stifle what you're trying to accomplish. What hinders us is that we expect a blessing, but we don't expect trouble. And something has to be said that we can shout over a blessing, but don't ready ourselves for trouble to show up. You can't be in a boxing match and not get hit. If you're in the fight at some point, that there is a blow that is coming that is going to hit you. And so you've got to be prepared for trouble that's showing up. Beware people who are so heavenly that they don't prepare for some things on the earth and get their things in order and get some things right with themselves before.
Yes.
Am I boring, y'all? Y'all boring? Yeah.
From Jordan, and we're going to build there.
Yeah.
My issue here is that these are prophets.
Come on.
All right, y'all looking at me.
Come on.
Would y'all help your boy in here tonight? Help me say they're prophets.
They're prophets.
Let me see if I can help you. They're not carpenters.
Come on, sir.
They're prophets. Let me use myself. I'm honest enough to tell you, you know, I'll talk a good game and say one of my guys is here. He's a carpenter. He can build stuff. He can build anything. That's not my testimony. No. When I need something built, I'm calling him.
Yeah.
Because I preach. You give me a Bible, I'm in my van. You give him a hammer, he's in his van.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to show me. Yeah. I'm trying to get you to see that they step into another arena.
Yes.
For which they have no training.
Come on. Yeah.
And yet it's working. The text says, so they go and they begin, they get to Jordan, verse 4, and they cut down trees. Nobody in the text doesn't say somebody taught them. Nowhere in the text doesn't say they had training for this. That they are prophets. They know the Torah. They know the books of wisdom. They understand the prophecy. They understand the word. But when it comes to hammers and nails and saws and axes, that's not their thing. But the text says they stepped into a new arena and it was working for them. God's getting ready to bless you in an arena that you weren't trained in. They were born in the wilderness.
baptized, he gets baptized in the Jordan.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that when he comes up out the water, God says, this is my son, don't miss it, in whom I love and with him I'm well pleased. But then it says, and the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. That was a transfer that took place at that moment. God's getting ready to move you into a place where he can get some things to you that he could not get to you in your own place. As long as they were in the spot that was too small, they could not build anything. But the moment they stepped out of their comfort zone and got where the Jordan was, God opened up rims and opened up avenues so that they could have access to things that they didn't have access to before. Get ready, because God's sending you into an arena where you have access.
Watch the access. I got to go. The text says they're cutting down trees.
Come on.
Remember, I told you they're prophets. I got 8 minutes. They're prophets. Everyone say they're prophets.
They're prophets.
They're cutting down trees. Here's what you're going to see. And when they're cutting down the trees, one of them says, OMG. Y'all know what that means. Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
It was borrowed.
Come on.
Wait a minute. When I used to read this text, I used to read it, and I used to say he was living beneath his privilege because he borrowed it.
Uh-huh.
You better come on now.
But I had to revisit it, and
uh-huh,
when I look at it in context,
yes,
it actually solidifies him.
Yes.
It validates what God is doing. Because somebody else could see it and trusted him with something that wasn't his. That's how you know you're where God wants you to be. Because somebody else will put something that does not belong to you into your hands and give you the rights to use it as if it was yours. Hit 3 people and tell them, it doesn't even belong to me. Tell them, it's not. It's what I say. It's not even mine. It's not even. And here's the glory. There's such an anointing on you that people who have it feel like the only way it works is if they put it in your hands. There's such a glory on you that people who use it feel like the only way I can get the best out of it is if you do something with it. Tell somebody and say, it's going to be borrowed.
It's going to be borrowed.
Whenever somebody loans you something,
uh-huh,
it means they see something in you,
yeah,
that they can trust you,
yeah,
with something that you don't own. God's getting ready to send you into somebody's direction, and they're going to trust you with something that goes far beyond your knowledge and expertise, but they're not trusting you because of you. There's an anointing and glory that's on your life that causes them to trust what God is doing in your life.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
There's it's borrowed.
Speak, Father.
It's borrowed.
My God.
He's never cut down a tree before, but the carpenter said, you can hold it.
You can
use it. People are going to be angry at you because they're going to be trying to figure out, how did you get access?
Oh, you better say so.
Watch this, with no training. How did you get access to this type of thing?
My God.
And you didn't go to school for it. They still in school and don't have the access, and you know you need a school, and God opened up the door for you. Get ready, because you're about to have access to some stuff. Here's the conclusion. I don't know what you're saying. All that sounds good, but your topic was, I'm going to get it back, and you haven't touched that yet. Here it is. The text says, he's cutting down the tree, and there it's working. And while it's working, he loses it.
Yes.
It says the axe head falls off the handle.
Yes, sir.
And it goes into the Jordan.
Yes.
And as it goes into the Jordan, it sinks and goes to the bottom of the Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And the prophet said, don't miss this,
It's borrowed. Oh my God, it's borrowed. Now, what I want you to realize is that it's working before he has a problem.
Right.
I know it's working because they had already cut down trees.
That's right.
See, the enemy is mad that you're successful in another area. What you're calling a setback is actually the attack at your success. Let me say it this way. It can't be a setback if you're not moving forward at all.
Yes.
For it to even be considered a setback, there will have to be some sense of progress. I'm trying to tell you where you ought to be shouting is that the only reason you got an attack is because you made advancement. Actually progressing, and because you are getting better, and you are becoming a better man, and you are becoming a better woman of God, and yes, your business is flourishing, and yes, the anointing is flowing, the attack is only there because you're moving forward. He says, it's borrowed. He says, it's borrowed. So now, watch this. Elisha hears this. And Elisha says, what happened? He said, the axe head. Where is it? He said, it's right there. In the water. He said, yes. He said, all right, give me a stick. And they cut a stick and they give it to the prophet Elisha. Oh, I hope y'all ready for church. And the prophet Elisha walks over. And he throws the stick in the water. And as he throws the stick in the water, the roles reverse. Lord, okay. Let me see if I can rewind it. Okay. So. Oh my God! What happened? The axe head. Where is it? Right there. Give me a stick. He gets a stick and he throws it in the water. And then the roles reverse. Let me see if I can help you understand. See, the stick should flow. It's real simple. And the axe head should slip. But when it's God that gets in the mix, he'll reverse the role. So when the stick went in, the stick gained weight. And the axe head became light. And what was happening now became light to flow. The Lord says, I'm about to shift some things in your life. And what was supposed to sink is now on the surface. You don't understand.
Yeah.
What you're saying is, Pastor, we in the Old Testament.
Come on.
And Jesus got really in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Tonight I want to introduce you to a word called theophany.
Yes.
Theophany is when Jesus shows up in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Before he's born in the new.
Yeah.
And since the title of tonight's message was, I'm going to get it back, I need to show you how you get it back, because the only way we get it back is when the roles reverse.
Yes.
Okay, let me see if I can help you. Pastor, where is Jesus in the text? Jesus is in the text because Jesus is in the stick.
Yeah.
No. You don't understand. Please understand. When Jesus dies, one of the things he dies for is something called sin.
Yeah.
And the emphasis of him dying when they set the whole scene was to make sure they put him on a stick.
Yes.
The Bible says, cursed is he that hangeth on a stick or on a tree. Y'all don't hear me. Which means that Jesus had to become a curse with a stick. So when the prophet has the stick is actually prophecy about what Jesus would do. Because Jesus, it appeared that when he was on a stick, it appeared that he died and he went down and that was all there was to it. And just by happenstance, they would put Jesus in a borrowed tomb. But what they weren't prepared for is on the third morning, before the dude got up off the roses, he had already gotten up with all power in his hands. Can you people say the roles reversed the roles? The only way they got the axe head back was because the stick took the axe's place. And tonight I came to tell you the only reason you're about to get what you lost back, because the stick took your place. God made sure that when you should have had defeat, you now have victory. When you should have been hurting, you now be set now. When you should have been sick, you now experience him. Does somebody say the wrongs have reversed? Somebody else to tell them the roles have reversed. Tell them the roles have reversed. Tell them something else is going to happen. What looked like defeat in your life, it's not going to be defeat. Tell them what looked like struggle, it's not going to be struggle. Tell them what looked like heartache, it's not going to be heartache. God's going to reverse the roles. God's going to change everything. He's going to take your pain.
Get your peace, get your healing.
you're gonna come out of a whole lot of stuff.
Yes, my God, my God.
When you just pick it up.
Yes.
This is why I screamed, because it preached to me earlier today when I read it. The axe head floated and it stayed afloat until he picked it up.
Yes.
I ain't got no help here. God told me to tell you, can't nobody get your stuff, he gon' keep it afloat. Can't nobody take what belongs to you, he gon' keep it afloat.
Gave the prophet something borrowed. He gave him access to something borrowed so he could build something for himself.
Yes.
You didn't hear that?
Yeah.
He gave him access to something borrowed so he could build for himself.
Yes.
Pastor, what does that mean? It means God's going to give you access to something you don't own so that you can work on something you do. Which means it didn't cost him money, it just cost him work. It didn't cost him revenue, it cost him effort.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
It didn't cost him a treasure, it cost him time.
Thank you, Lord.
In this season, you must be careful about your time.
Jesus.
Because your time is your currency. Tell everybody here, your time is your currency. Your currency is time. It's not money, it's time. It's not greed. So you can't waste it. Because for you, time matters so much that whatever you spend it, watch this, you don't get it back.
Yes.
10 minutes ago, we don't get that moment back.
Right.
30 minutes ago, we don't get that moment back. 2 years ago, you don't get that moment back. Once it's spent, it is spent. Which means that this is the season I have to spend it wisely.
Yes.
Watch this, because what he gave me to work with is borrowed.
Yes.
When it's borrowed, it means there's a time limit.
Yes.
So I've got to return it soon.
Yes.
And I don't want to give the axe head back if I haven't completed my assignment yet. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I don't want to have to give it back and I have not finished what God started in me. Are y'all here, Lord? The Lord sent me tonight to minister this in your life. Because there's something he wants you to have access to.
Thank you, Lord.
And even if it fails at that moment, he wants you to know, I got a stick I'm going to throw in the water. And you'll get it back.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You'll get it back.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Here's what's crazy. The person who he borrowed it from never knew he was in trouble with it. Which means his integrity stayed intact.
Yes, Lord.
Because if the person who loaned it to him found out he had trouble with it, he might not loan him anything else again.
That's right.
Amen.
So when it's returned back as if he had never taken it, as if he had never broken, as if nothing was ever wrong with it. He gave it back better than what he took it. Watch this, and he was able to fulfill his assignment.
Thank you, Lord.
God wants to perform that same thing in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
There's some new relationships that are going to develop. They're not going to look like you. They might not have church the way you have church. They may not sound the way you sound. But they're going to be great relationships.
Amen.
And it's going to help you accomplish the God-given purpose that he has placed in your
life. Thank you, Lord.
But you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone.
Ooh.
You're going to have to be willing to leave the small-minded place and go to a spacious area called the Jordan. You're going to have to be willing to go to the place of not just transition, but transfer.
Yes.
And not just transfer, but finally transformation.
Oh, yes.
Because all while they were building, they had no idea that the building wasn't what God was trying to get them to build. It was them.
Yes.
They was working on the trees. And while they were working on the trees, God was working on them.
Yes, thank you.
While you're doing one work, God's doing another.
Yes.
While you're at work working on one area, God starts working on another. Get this tonight. Lift your hands all over the sanctuary. I want to pray for you right now. Father, thank you.
Thank you.
For releasing your word to us tonight. Teaching us that what you have for us is better and greater
yes,
than what we could think
yes,
for ourselves.
Yes,
Lord, thank you for putting us in a situation where we couldn't stay. Thank you that that place
thank
was too
God.
Small for us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Small-minded thinking, small-minded mentalities,
yes.
Small actions. Lord, thank you for getting us away from small stuff. And Lord, we thank you for giving us a strategy. Strategy for something greater, a strategy for something better, a strategy for excellence, a strategy for something that goes beyond what we could think or imagine for ourselves, a strategy for something that generations after us can be blessed from. Lord, thank you for the strategy. Now, the enemy would desire that we fall and fail and not accomplish it. But Lord, we thank you for favor
thank
on
you,
our
Lord.
Lives.
Thank you, Lord.
To
thank
connect
you,
us with new people and new arenas who will grant and give us
yes,
access
God.
To things
yes,
that we did not have access to before.
Yes,
and Lord, it will complete the assignment that you have given
yes,
unto us.
Yes.
Which means ultimately all glory comes back to you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So Lord, thank you for
thank
it.
You, Lord. Hallelujah.
We lift our hands tonight as a symbol that we surrender
hallelujah.
To you. And we're no longer going to be held hostage
yes.
by small things.
Yes, Lord,
we're willing to step out into a new
yes,
arena.
God.
And Lord, we're ready for new relationships and new connections. Connect us with who has our axe head.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
May
we come in contact within the next 6 days with who has our
yes,
axe
God.
Head.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. And Lord, we pray as they borrow, they lend
yes.
it to us and we borrow it. We'll make good use of it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, most of all, you'll get glory. Thank you, Lord, for reversing the roles.
Thank
you, Lord, for making sure we don't fail at this, that we don't fumble at this. Lord, today we thank you because you promised us nothing but victory. And that's all we're expecting is victory. In every area of our life, would you shout victory?
Victory.
In our thinking, shout victory.
Victory.
In relationships, shout victory.
Victory.
In our health, shout victory.
Victory.
In our marriages, shout victory.
Victory.
In our businesses, shout victory.
Victory.
In our families, shout victory.
Victory.
In our finances, shout victory.
Victory.
Shout victory.
Victory. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. We stand on it, we believe it,
yes,
and we count it as done.
Yes,
with your hands lifted, I want you to create the sound that says you got your axe head. Create the sound that says things are working the way God intended. Create the sound of thanksgiving and praise and adoration and glory. Come on, lift your voice to a sound. Open your mouth to a sound. Nature Channel, and
thank you, Jesus.
They were doing this commercial about this nature store. It's one at Christiane Mall, I forget the name of it. At any rate, right after it, it was another commercial about these foremen who were cutting down trees. And when they cut down the tree, after they got the cut, they would stand back when they saw the tree falling, and they would yell,
timber!
Yeah.
It was a sound to let everybody know
yes.
the tree was falling.
Come on.
When I saw the commercial, I remembered this
Because what it was actually saying is that that's the sound to let everybody know it's working. Tonight, what I want you to do is throw your hands up, and I just want you to open your mouth and yell just to let everybody know it's working. Let everybody know your axe head is working. Got something. I want you to jump to your feet with it. Don't be ashamed tonight. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. Because whatever you lost through effort, you're getting ready to regain. You're getting ready to regain. I speak it to your life. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. Tell everybody on your row, everybody in your section, tell them, point to all of them, say, you're getting it back. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. You're getting brought back. If you're going to use your check cards or something, I don't know where they'll go. They'll see you in the back. They'll see you in the back. Amen. If you're using your check card, just come back to me with your receipt. I got something you need to do. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. Everybody, get your offering jump to your feet as soon as you have it. Everybody. Then I want you to get something. Don't be ashamed. I don't care what it is. If you don't have what I called for, just get what you got. Come and bring it. Do it right now. Come and bring it. I'm going to pray over it in just a moment. You're getting it back. 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 I see y'all coming. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. There's something major he's doing. There's something wonderful he's performing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. They're still coming. They're still coming. Bless God for you. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. I don't care if it's a penny. Come and give it. Trust God. I had a lady in my church who gave $1. She gave $1. That's all she had. She gave $1. What she didn't know was that $1 in faith unlocked everything for her. She gave $1 at the command of her giving and an offering. I got a text message from her, or a Facebook message from her this past week that said that the position she had been trying to get for the past 3 years, she went to school to get, but had to drop out of school. Which means she said, I forgot all about the position. She said, but Pastor, this past Sunday you told us to give. I gave. I only gave $1. She said, I got a phone call on Tuesday about an interview on Thursday for this same position that I should have a degree for. Y'all don't hear me. She goes into the interview on Thursday and they hire her on the spot with no degree. She said, Pastor, not only did they hire me, but now I get to go back to school, but I didn't have the money, but now they're going to pay for me to go back to school. Push everybody and tell them, go and get it, go and get it, go and get it, go and get it. You never know what God's got for you. I want everyone to stand on their feet and get ready to turn it over to the man of God. Everyone stand on their feet. You know how comfortable girl you come up, drop it in. I'm going to pray for you. My prayer for you is that you'll never, ever go back.
So whatever it was, God brought you out of. I pray over you that your latter will be greater than your past. Your future will be brighter than yesterday. What's coming to you will be better than what you had and what you left. The worst is over, and the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, if you receive it, lift your hands up high in the air and just shout, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I
receive it. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands for this man of God as you come.
Really just bless your life. How many of you will bless the one tonight? Amen.